This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. It is cabin fever season. After a solid month of snow and cold, we are all in need of an escape. Whether visiting a Caribbean destination or a cabin closer to home, traveling is an opportunity for relaxation and perhaps exploration. But how do you get off the tourism track and find the real soul of a place? National Geographic's team has compiled a list of suggestions in a new book, Where the Locals Go, more than 300 places around the world to eat, play, shop, celebrate, and relax. Keith Bellows is with us. He's editor-in-chief and senior vice president of National Geographic Traveler Magazine and Travel Media. Keith Bellows, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much.
Now, you were born in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo, grew up in Canada, went to school in Scotland and the U.S., visited more than 98 countries. So let's narrow it down. What was the last place you visited, and what off-the-beaten-path thing did you do?
Well, the last interesting place I visited might be more to the point, and that would be Edinburgh.
So what did you find that captured your fancy in Edinburgh?
One of the cool things to do there, and this is something the locals can really help you with, is this is where Hogwarts came alive, and this is where Harry Potter was written. So you see all these places, and you begin to realize, oh, that's Hogwarts, or that's, you know, whatever alley it was. So I think that the whole idea behind this book is to get beyond the sort of standard-bearer, iconic itineraries, you know, and try to follow your nose and try to follow the locals, see where they go.
In the introduction to the book, you write about the great pleasures of the happy accident. So what would you consider a happy accident?
I think a happy accident is when you go into a Dublin pub and there's four or five, you know, local musicians hanging around and they're just playing all night and it's drinking copious amounts of beer and, you know, it gets to be 2 o'clock in the morning and the pub's closing and, you know, you're starving and so you sit down at the table with, you know, these musicians are beginning to pack up and you ask them, is there a really good place to eat that, you know, at this time of night? And that isn't pub food, but is, you know, the sort of favorite haunt of the people who live here. And, you know, sure enough, that's where they're headed.
Hmm. Give us an example of a time when travel plans have gone awry and wound up being a positive experience for you.
When I went to India for the first time and I ended up driving from Jaipur to Agra, unfortunately, the day, this is when the Indians in a small village, who had been out of without electricity for a week, just got fed up and they shut down the road. And the massed crowds wouldn't let us through. And I was with Paul Threw and a couple of other people, and he spoke a little bit of Hindi, and this looked really bad. It looked like we were going to be spending the night in the middle of nowhere. And we went up, and he spoke to this cab driver on the other side of the barricade, and we literally picked up this tiny little cab. There were 13 of us. Turned it around. It wasn't actually a cab. It was a Jeep. And climbed in. You know, we left our luggage, and we ended up going, you know, another probably 50 miles with camels on both sides of the road and, you know, elephants. And we ended up getting to the hotel where they dressed us in what looked like Ku Klux Klan garb because we were going to go have dinner with somebody. And we had no clothes. We were caked in mud. And it was one of the most delightful things that's ever happened to me because you kind of see the underbelly of travel. But in the final essence, you saw the locals and they were fixing their cars or, you know, working on the engines of their lorries or whatever. And it's interesting to see how a culture will take a happy accident and turn it into a wonderful afternoon in the sun. And I think so many people, especially Americans, and I remember some people on the bus were going, oh my God, we're going to miss our spa appointment. But the actual event was much more enjoyable than any spa treatment.
Nice way to name check Paul Theroux as your travel companion, by the way.
Oh, well, he's great. Yeah. He knows how to travel.
Well, he's a seasoned traveler. You're a seasoned traveler. How about for the layperson? How do we make room for those happy accidents?
I think you just have to be willing to be surprised and be willing to make the effort to reach out, go into a coffee, you know, shop or a bar and pick out the sort of coolest person in the place and just try to strike up a conversation, find out where do they eat breakfast in the morning and, you know, what's their favorite music spot at night and is there a great place to get jazz here or where do I go where the tourists don't know? And you'd be just surprised. People, when they're approached that way, really respond. They really love to share their own backyard.
We're talking to Keith Bellows. He's editor-in-chief and senior vice president of National Geographic Traveler magazine, an inveterate traveler with many, many different experiences. His team has helped compile this book called Where the Locals Go. So how about balancing that spontaneity with seeing the main attractions? I mean, if somebody does go to Rome, for example, you know, they want to see the Colosseum. They want to see St. Peter's Cathedral. They want to stick their hand in the mouth of truth. How do you balance that with the local experience?
Well, first of all, you'd be crazy not to see those places. But I think the thing to try to avoid is getting back to your hotel and asking the concierge where's a great place to have, you know, dinner, because he's going to tell you, he's got his big black book, he's going to open it up, he's going to go down and pick the place the tourists go. And so you don't need to do that.
It can be difficult for people to travel far from home, to affordability time. How about finding adventure closer to home? Any suggestions there?
Oh, well, there's adventures everywhere close to home. I mean, it's the thing is, any city, any of our cities, and I would include, you know, Washington, where I live, if you're willing to, you know, make the effort, you're going to constantly discover places in your own hometown that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, you've got stuff on Las Vegas, off the Strip, Memphis, Gainesville, Florida, tailgating with the University of Florida, Boston, some tips on clam chowder,
yep.
And New Orleans, moving beyond Bourbon Street. Any locals tell you, yep, you got that absolutely right?
Yep. I just talked to somebody from Texas. They were talking about the cowboy boots in Austin, and, you know, she said, but you really nailed it. And, you know, the best place to get, you know, brisket, there it is. That's what we know that.
Now, Keith Bellows, I know you went to Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas about finding adventure in our own states and towns, the places that we think we know so well?
Well, you know, Dartmouth, I mean, New Hampshire was incredible outdoor wonderland. And I mean, it's you know, that's a flip side of localism, where you're looking for the wonderful stretch of water on the Connecticut to kayak, or you're looking for the place to go, you know, you're trying to experience the outdoors far away from other people.
Well, Keith Bellows, thank you for getting us in the adventurous spirit. We needed it today.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
Keith Bellows, editor-in-chief and senior VP of National Geographic Traveler magazine and Travel Media. This team put together Where the Locals Go. It's a list of places around the world to play and shop and celebrate and relax. And of course, because it's Nat Geo, the photographs are terrific. And we would love to hear from you. How about your happy accidents and your unhappy ones? Tourists do flock to New Hampshire to ski and hike and leaf peep. Which off the beaten path would you suggest? You can join the conversation going on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouth. We're going to stay on the travel beat with a story from the mountains of mid-Africa. We'll hear the story of a woman who traveled from Oklahoma to Rwanda to visit the site where Diane Fossey studied gorillas in their natural habitat. Although this woman was not quite as savvy as her predecessor, a lesson in what not to do when photographing gorillas, coming up on Word of Mouth.